Hello and welcome to In Pursuit of Gritosis. My name is Shannon Missimer. For the past 4 years, my family and I have been on a journey to live our life differently, to stop chasing happiness as defined by the world, but instead live our life in pursuit of gritosis. You may be asking yourself, what in the world is gritosis? And we are so glad that you asked. Gritosis, the state, process, or condition of gratitude. Our mission with this podcast is to share stories of what gritosis means to us and how it has impacted and shaped the last 4 years of our lives. Share research that incredible scientists have done to dive into gratitude and the impact it has in our life, and to connect with other individuals who have chosen a similar path, whether personally or professionally. Our hope is to remind you that there is more than one way to live this life and support you in your journey of living life in pursuit of gritosis. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of In Pursuit of Gritosis. I have to say it's been a couple weeks now of getting to connect with just some really incredible people and businesses that are doing things differently. Exactly what I wanted to share, and I wanted to have a space to connect with these individuals because I think sometimes we think that there's one way to do things. And I think it's just been very special to connect with these individuals. And I am excited to add to that today. I have another guest. And this has been a very, very cool experience getting to know this guest. So I want to introduce you all to Maria Bollner. Hi, Maria. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm great. I'm so happy to have you here. I want to give you all a little bit of background of Maria. So Maria and I actually met through her fiance, who is a good friend of my husband and of myself. I feel like we've known John for a while now. It's crazy. But I got introduced to Maria through her fiance, and we've just gotten to spend some time together and just talk about life and business and what Maria does. And to give you a little bit of background about Maria. So Maria is a teacher. So she is at Westchester East High School in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. And she is actually she's a gifted resource teacher, which I think is so cool. And I'd love for you to can you give some insight into what exactly that is?
Yeah. So I love that the word resource is part of my title because that really truly is what I do. I am obviously interacting with the gifted students in the building all day long, but I'm also a resource for them because they have aspirations that are often beyond the capability of our school building. And so part of my job is making sure that all of those passions and aspirations that they have can be followed through in some way, whether that's setting them up with job opportunities or job shadowing, mentoring, or, you know, getting them connected to a university so they can do dual enrollment. So it's really awesome for me to be able to support them and their dreams and their passions at such a young age. And then, you know, getting to be a teacher and spending, you know, 45 minutes a day with each of them is great because I really get to know them in that time. So it's just really awesome to be in this position. It's a unique one in the teaching world, yes, but it's an awesome one.
Yes. And how long have you been doing that? Because that's what I've never heard of a position like this or of an opportunity like this for high school students. So is this typical of schools? I mean, I just think it's incredible that there's those resources available to the students at Westchester East.
Yeah, actually, it is state mandated, just as special ed is state mandated. In PA. Yeah, in PA, we are required to offer services to any students who are identified as gifted, and that's common throughout the United States. I don't know if it's a requirement in all 50 states, but I think that every state has some sort of gifted and talented, or sometimes they call them enrichment programs.
Beautiful. Yeah. Well, and obviously with a role like that, it takes a unique individual to teach a gifted resource or a group of gifted students. So as you all kind of know now, Maria, she's a teacher and she's obviously being given an opportunity to teach students in a different way. So it's not necessarily a subject. It's an opportunity to, like you said, just tap into these
opportunities and kind of help them grow and chase these dreams. So mm-hmm. I would love to get into a little bit of your background. So I'm really excited to talk to Maria is what she's been doing with these students. But before we get there, I would love to hear some of your background. Like, why did you get into teaching? Like, what got you to this point? And how did you become a gifted resource teacher?
Yeah. So when I was a student myself, I was actually in middle school at the time. I was kind of just realizing that maybe education and my learning were important. Before then, I had kind of seen it as, you know, like an annoying requirement that I had from September to June. But then I started getting real evaluations and, you know, I was an average student. I wasn't failing and I wasn't, you know, going above and beyond, but I realized that, you know, I'm putting in so much time to this. I might as well like kind of sit back and reflect as a, what was I like a 12-year-old at the time? and I really started paying attention to my teachers and what they were doing. Because while I was required to be there by law, they had chosen that as their profession. And it was actually my English teachers who caught my attention because we were reading such awesome stories and we were having great conversations. And I could just tell that everybody in the room, or, you know, maybe not everybody, but at least me and the teacher and quite a few others were engaged and we were, you know, excited to talk about the things that were happening. And I was like thinking about how maybe one day I could do that. So then I went into high school, paid extra special attention to my English teachers, decided I wanted to be an English teacher myself. I knew I wanted to do it at the secondary level, you know, either middle school or high school, because that's when you get to have those really cool stories and conversations. Yeah. It's not just the mechanics of reading and writing. And so I did go to college for English literature and secondary ed. And I was really, really active in that. I was the president of the National Council of Teachers of English student affiliate group at Westchester University, where I went. And then I went into student teaching and I realized how difficult the job is, which I was very much interested in continuing on with being an English teacher. But all the responsibilities and all the things that you don't see as a student became a reality for me. And I was looking for a job at the end of my student teaching. And I found a English substitute position where I was kind of traveling between two different buildings and I was teaching all types of different things throughout the day. And my head was spinning with all of my responsibilities and all of that. And I ended up connecting with the gifted teacher in that building. And she was pregnant with triplets at the time. And she was like, I'm going out on maternity leave and I need somebody to fill in for me. And you're a substitute teacher. Please take my job for a little while. And I was like, I have no idea what gifted is. Like, I really don't know if I'm qualified for that. I don't have a certification in that. And she was like, it doesn't matter. Just give it a try. You're going to love it. So I did because I wanted a job and I was curious what, you know, a different avenue in education could look like because I was overwhelmed as, you know, not even a first year teacher yet. And so I did gifted education at the middle school level for a year and a half as she, you know, had her triplets and was, you know, acclimating to her new life with them. And I loved everything about the middle school gifted program. So then I knew I was like, I want to be a teacher and I want to talk about cool things and I want to, you know, engage with students who are interested and passionate. And that was the exact environment that I had always wanted to be in. So I got hired as a substitute gifted teacher, and then the district told me they needed me to be an English teacher again. I did that for 2 years, but the entire time I was thinking about how awesome it used to be a gifted teacher. And then the gifted teacher in my building retired, and she asked me if I wanted to take her position over, and I said, absolutely, I do.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. Last year was my first year as a high school gifted teacher. And I don't think I'm ever going to give up this job. I'll probably be here until I retire. Yeah. There's only one per building, so you got to hold on to it.
Exactly. That is so cool. Talk about being like thrown into an incredible situation, you know, and finding something that you didn't even know about till you experienced it. That's so cool.
Yeah, it was quite a journey, but I'm glad where I landed.
Seriously. And so a lot of what you talk about, so I can only imagine what a teacher experiences in general. And I feel like in the last couple of years, it's been more intense too. Like, I feel like there's more responsibility beyond curriculum. And I'm not a teacher, so I would love to hear your perspective on it. But are you like, as a gifted resource teacher, but even like when you were as an English teacher, are you feeling like the role of a teacher has kind of morphed and it's like a bigger responsibility than just curriculum?
Oh, yeah. It's something that we've been talking about in my building, you know, at staff meetings. I think it comes up every time, how the world of education has shifted so much in the past few years. And all the things that we used to do are really not going to be effective anymore because we have a lot more things to account for. You know, it's not just getting the content and making sure that they're absorbing it. It's making sure that they're comfortable and safe and that they're going to be successful when they leave and they have those soft skills and all the other things that go into it on top of, you know, the emotional distress that most of us were under during the pandemic and then trying to reacclimate into the world after that.
Right. And did you see a shift with students after? Like, was that a big transition back?
Oh my gosh, yeah. I mean, it still is, but, you know, those first initial months leading into, I mean, really the past 2 years. We didn't really talk about social emotional learning that much. I mean, it was always an educational buzzword, but it really came up a lot in the past 2 years because we realized that social and emotional learning is extremely important in a climate where everyone is distressed to some degree.
Right. And it's like, how can these students gather the information if they're that their systems are unregulated or they can't, like you were saying, if they can't feel safe or calm enough to even, you know, take in the information, then it's almost like if you're focusing just on the curriculum, they're not even absorbing it.
Right.
Exactly. So it's like this whole, it's so interesting. And as a, you know, mom with little kids, it is so, like I give teachers, I give you all so much credit for what you're doing and you're going so much beyond. Not only are you navigating these situations yourselves, you know, now you're helping multiple students kind of navigate life and providing support beyond the curriculum. I think it's really incredible. And it takes so much care and so much love and support from a teacher, you know, to put that and to provide that for your students. It has to be a lot some days to do all that. But I'm sure if you're passionate about what you're doing, it makes it all worth it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I would always want to make sure that I'm giving 150% to my students so that they can feel supported by the end of the day, by the end of the year, by the end of the time that I have with them, since I do get to see them for all 4 years of their high school experience. Yeah, it's definitely a big emotional strain, but it's worth it 1,000%.
Yeah. And that's so unique about your position too. So you're saying you see them, do you see the same students or all 4 years, or how does that work?
Yeah. So, I mean, once they're identified as gifted, they're in the gifted program until they graduate, or, you know, they can always decide to take a step back from it if it's too much. But a lot of them do choose to stay. So I meet them on the first day of their freshman year and they come back to my classroom routinely all throughout high school. Which is great because I get to see them grow and it's awesome to see them come in as, you know, a timid little ninth grader and leave as a confident and excited senior.
That's incredible. Yeah. Like, I think that to have that consistency for a student also, you know, to know that relationship is there. That's really cool. Cause I have the same teacher, you know, more than once. So that's so cool to be able to have that ongoing relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. I really value it. It's super important to me.
So I want to kind of get into, cause this now kind of rolls beautifully into, cause you talk about how much care and how much you enjoy watching these students go from the, you know, the timid ninth grader to being confident when they are ready to graduate. And I would love to go into what you did with them last year. So this is where you and I just connected so deeply, and I've loved getting to know you through this process. And I just think it's so beautiful how you've supported your students last year. So I would love if you could share your story around, you know, how you went about and what you did last year with your students, being your first year, but, you know, after COVID and everything. I would love to hear and for you to share that story.
Yeah. So, like I said, when we all came back in person after, you know, restrictions were lifted, it was a really hard adjustment for, you know, not just the students, but the teachers too. And we were often having conversations with all the professionals and the parents and, you know, really as many people as we could talk to. We tried to get those conversations going because we wanted to make sure that the transition was as good as it could be. And yeah. What came out of that conversation a lot of the times was, you know, my child is upset or my child is feeling really down and has been for a while. Or sometimes it was my child is having, you know, suicidal thoughts and we don't know how to handle it. And it's because of the pandemic and the lack of interaction and everything. And I mean, you can't suggest therapy as the only yeah. thing. You know, there's got to be other supports at other points in the day and in the week where they can have that, you know, that positive outlook on life. And so that's really what I wanted to give to my students. I felt like it was almost, I mean, I think it is more important than anything that they can learn in my room. I need them to feel safe and I need them to feel valued. And I want them to learn how to love themselves and to work through hard times because, you know, what they were going through was awful, but it's not going to be the only, you know, like pit in their life. There's going to be more hardships that they're going to have to work through. And at the same point, I didn't want them to always focus on the negative because there are beautiful, positive things in our life all the time. So I decided that as I was welcoming them all into my classroom for the first 5 or so minutes of every lesson, we would spend some time practicing gratitude. And I always had a gratitude and I still do this. I have a gratitude prompt up on the board. And so they can see what the question is, see what they're going to be thinking about, talking about. There's never any pressure for them to share their thoughts. I have just asked them to, you know, take that 5 minutes to, you know, don't take your cell phone out. Don't take your laptop out. You don't even have to unpack anything in your bag. Just take a look at the prompt, consider it, and if you would like to share your thoughts, then we can, as a community, kind of talk about this. And what I noticed was they were really excited to talk about something that wasn't really school-related, because yeah. it was about them and their personal lives and the things that are going on that are unique to them. And, you know, those are the things that kids want to talk about. They want to share as much as they can about themselves with the people that they feel close with. And because I have such small numbers in my classroom, you know, I only have about 7 students in here at a time. We get close really quickly and we feel safe with each other pretty quickly. And I think that practicing gratitude together has, you know, only made that more apparent. So it's really awesome for them to have a moment in their day where they can share something unique about them that's just positive and gives them that kind of vacation from all of the stress and the negativity that might be in their lives.
So beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. It's, and so obviously I just think it's incredible. As somebody who wasn't introduced to gratitude till I was 30, I can only imagine the impact it could have had if I had known that it could be utilized as a tool, you know, especially mm-hmm. in high school when you're experiencing, I feel like for the first time in high school, you're experiencing just more highs and lows that you don't always know how to regulate, you know, and your parents aren't around to help all the time. So it's like the beginning of that journey of exploring how to care for yourself, and to be able to introduce that to your students is just such a gift. And it's just, I love hearing your stories of what you shared. And I would love, did you notice any shifts throughout the year as you did this? Like what was some of the impact that you saw that made you want to keep doing it throughout the year?
Oh, I noticed a whole bunch. Before, when I wasn't doing gratitude and we would just kind of get right into the lesson, I noticed that, you know, in the time between the bells, as the students were kind of waiting for class to start, they would either pull out their cell phones and just kind of like scroll mindlessly. by themselves, not interacting, or maybe they would turn to like the one or two peers that they had in class and they would only talk to them, and then another student would be by themselves. And although I think that it's nice that they, you know, were able to take a brain break or whatever they needed in that 4 minute period before classes, I think it's way better for them to have a gratitude prompt on the board. And immediately they started conversing with each other about the prompt while I'm still greeting students and welcoming them into my classroom. And they're all interacting on the same thing. And, you know, I think it's building friendships. It's absolutely building community. It's also giving them an adult who will talk about, you know, the things that are going on in their lives. Because to be honest, I don't think a lot of these teenagers are going home and sharing every detail with their parents. I think they're very much at the stage where they come home and their parents are asking, how was your day? And they're like, fine. And then they keep going to their room, you know? They talk about these like little tiny things that happen in their day or in their week because of my gratitude prompts. And I get to know them so well because of it. I've learned so much about them that would not have come up if we were just doing our, you know, planned content for the day. And so I'm really grateful that I really get to know them in that deeper level. And I know what they do outside of school and what their interests are and what, you know, what they're grateful for, what they love.
Right.
So it's just really, really awesome to see that change, to see how it has made an impact on our community. And I'm sure it's made an impact on each individual as well.
Again, as I get so excited just hearing it, because I just think it's like exactly like you said, like I think we've all turned into kind of like this where we kind of go it alone, you know, we check our phones, we kind of dive into our own space. But the ability to connect with humans, I think, is so beneficial. And I feel like that's come out. I think the need for community and that need for interaction and need to feeling like you're belonging somewhere and having a space where you can be a little vulnerable, you know, whether it's feels very vulnerable or it's just sharing something about yourself. I think it just provides such a safe space to explore yourself and to have that in high school is just really special. It's so definitely cool. And so I know you shared kind of students. I think you shared you too, but is there anything that did you feel different? Like, was it a different relationship? And I guess this was their first year doing it with high school students. So you don't necessarily have anything to compare it to, but do you feel like it was different for you in your relationships with your student as the teacher?
Yeah. I mean, I think I had to go through a little bit of an adjustment with it, just like they did, because I know that this isn't anything that they do in their other classes. And so for me to, cause I don't have the prompt up there and just ask them to participate while I sit back and listen. I model it for them. I also participate, and, you know, I'm sharing little details about my personal life that, I mean, are kind of irrelevant, but when they're in the conversation of gratitude, it makes more sense. And I'm not used to sharing details about my personal life because I before was always like, all right, we're learning this today and this is how we're going to do it and let's get into it. Right. But now I think they're also getting to know me because of my responses. And it's been cool because I think that they see me as their teacher, their mentor, but they also see me as, you know, some sort of a role model because they know how I spend some of my time outside of the classroom and what I like to do and what I'm grateful for in my life. So really, the only thing it's done for us is built really strong connections between each of us. And I think that we're really developing empathy because we're all different and we respond differently to all of the gratitude prompts. But with all of our uniqueness coming together, it builds that awesome community where we respect each other. We want to hear what each other has to say. So it's been really cool, you know, uncomfy in the beginning, but now super comfortable and super exciting.
Yes. Got to get through that funky vibe first, but yes. And I think what you just said just resonates so deeply too with like the empathy. So I think the ability to have differences, but feel like you're in a space where it's safe to share them. Like I feel like that's even hard to find, you know? So to have, you know, different students and you modeling that for them, it just shows them that outside of that of the classroom, they can apply that too, you know, which I think we need more of in this world, like empathy. If we had more empathy in the world, I think we could, we would, be a different world someday. So I think the ability for them to see that played out and see it modeled and to feel how good it feels to be able to take that into their life outside of the classroom is just, it's so cool.
Yeah, it's great too, because it happens, you know, so naturally and organically in these conversations. And sometimes the things that inspire the most like impactful conversation are really just like the silliest things. Like the other day, yes. My gratitude prompt for them was like, what's a smell that you're grateful for? And somebody said that they were grateful for the smell of freshly cut grass, which I totally agreed with. Yes, and then another student in the room, yeah, right? Another student in the room like grimaced and was like, no. And I was like, oh, somebody here is not a fan of freshly cut grass. And he was like, well, one time I was mowing the lawn and I accidentally mowed over a hornet's nest. And so now every time smell freshly cut grass, I associate it with the hornets coming after me. And I was like, that's hilarious. But we don't like, I have this phrase, I say like, we don't yuck other people's yums. Like somebody can like something and you can disagree, but we're not going to tell them that they're wrong because they like it. Right. We just have a different opinion.
I think I need to use that with my kids. We're not going to yuck anybody else's yum. I love that. That is such a great phrase to use.
Yeah, it's great.
But to like be able to have that dialogue and like for even when it's not a, you know, the best moment to go back to that moment for somebody, like it just creates such a different way of living. Like I feel like, especially as students, we kind of go through the motions throughout the day of like, go to one class, go to the next, where it's like, if they can, you know, like, stop and think about a smell, you know, think about what that smell means to them. It just takes them out of that day-to-day motion, you know, and it gets them back to being present and in their lives. And I think those are all opportunities to help, you know, release some of the heaviness, the sadness, you know, it just, it gives them that tool to be able to be present and think about moments that might have a little bit more meaning. So that's a really cool example. I like that one. Cause I was wondering like what kind of prompts you did. Cause are these just things that you make up or do you find them somewhere?
Yeah, it's kind of all over the place. Sometimes I'll look them up. I mean, there's millions of them online. Some of them are better than others online. So you kind of have to sort through or just, you know, take inspiration from one, but make it better in your own head. And now that this is my second year, I actually had a couple of students gift me like inspirational quote books and the one book that I love. Yeah, it's the 52 list project where it gives like little prompts for every week of the year, like what you should be focusing on for gratitude. So it'll give you like kind of season themed things that you can express gratitude towards. So I've been looking into those little gifts that the students have given me and I take some of those things and I turn them into gratitude prompts for my classes. I really get them from anywhere. Sometimes I can just think of a gratitude prompt that kind of lines up with the topic that we're discussing and that's always great. But I mean, I encourage all of my colleagues to do this in whatever way they could, because I just feel like it's so accessible. It's so easy to set up and it has such an impact.
So that was my next question for you. So, because obviously your setup is a little bit different, so you have a little bit more flexibility, but at the same time, it doesn't take that much time. So if there was a teacher who was saying like, okay, I would love to do something like this in my class, like, do you have any suggestions on, you know, what might be helpful to get them started or like, what are your thoughts there? So I know, and if you don't, cause I know your setup's a little bit different, but I just thought I would ask, cause if there's other teachers out there that are looking to just like reset the tone in the class and kind of focus on the good and find some way to support their students. I'm sure they would love to hear from a teacher that's doing it and offer, see if there's any suggestions that they might be able to put in place.
Oh yeah. I actually thought about this a lot, especially when you and I and my assistant principal were talking about how to, you know, make this more accessible for all types of teachers. I thought of a couple of things, and I tried these things in my room, and they worked wonderfully. And I would love to try them with, you know, a full size classroom of 30 or so students, but I don't see why they wouldn't work. One thing I did, which I really, really love, and it took no time at all, was I gave each of my students a post-it note, and I just simply asked them to write their first name on the front of it. And then they stuck it to a bulletin board, an empty bulletin board that I had in my room. And then as students came in, you know, after that, I asked them to go up and pick a sticky note off of the board and turn it around and write something that they're grateful for about the person, you know, the name on the front of that note, and just stick it back on there. So the actual gratitude message is hidden because it's a sticky note. So you only see the first name. But once all of them were filled out, I instructed the students to go back and retrieve theirs, and they got to read their little note. And that was really, really beautiful. Really cool. A lot of them immediately like took their phone case off and put it in their phone case so that it was kind of preserved in there, or like put it in some special place. Yeah. So that was a really, really beautiful and very simple way for the students to express gratitude for each other. I also have used Google Jamboard. Do you know what that is?
No.
It's a really cool tool. Yeah. So it's basically what I just described. It's a slide, an empty slide, where you can post a digital post-it note. And the thing that I love about Jamboard is that whoever posts is anonymous. So there's never a name attached to the response. But you could easily have a gratitude prompt at the top of the slide and then just ask every student in the room to post a post-it note in response. And all of it would be anonymous. So they can really say whatever they want and it wouldn't be tracked back to them. And if the teacher wanted to, they could take some time and point out some of the things that, you know, kind of stuck out to them on the slide, or we could all just kind of take it in for a moment, look at all the different responses that came out of the prompt, and then move on. So I think either of those activities are very quick and easy, don't really take any prep time, and I think they have an awesome impact.
That's such a great idea. And I love that it's tangible and it's something that a teacher could like do tomorrow. You know, like it's such a simple thing. And I think so, because, you know, obviously being so passionate about gratitude, I think about as a teacher, you know, with you already having so much on your plate, it's like, oh, I don't want this to like, is this just going to be something else that I have to do? And I feel like, and I'd love to hear your perspective on it, but by giving students that time when they get started to focus on the good, or focus on, you know, something beyond just like the topic, the curriculum of the day, do you feel that it like allows them to focus better and listen better? Because to me, like I know for myself, on the days that I'm very intentional with my gratitude and I start my day that way, I'm so much more productive because I'm not caught up in like, whether it's a, you know, a negative spiral or like, you know, feeling like I'm overwhelmed with all the things that I have to do. I'm so much more clear on, you know, what needs to get done and what my priorities are because I've been intentional with that time at the beginning of the day. And do you feel like that also would apply to teachers? Because I think, you know, the initial thought is like, I don't have time.
Right. Yeah, I absolutely think so. I mean, even just with my students, I think by starting off my class period with an exercise like that, you know, it doesn't take a whole lot of brain power. I'm asking you what your favorite smell is. Yeah. You know, you could really say anything. But what it does is it gets everybody engaged on the same topic. It's something that is hopefully at least a little bit interesting because they're talking about themselves, which, you know, most people are more comfortable talking about their own experiences than, you know, something deep and intellectual and whatnot. So it gets kind of the gears in the brain moving. And then once that conversation is over, everybody is already engaged. Everyone's on the same page and we can just kind of jump right into whatever it is that we have planned for the day. And I think that that applies to, you know, the individual as well. You know, start off with something that's going to get your brain moving, thinking. It's not going to be too taxing. It's not going to be exhausting, but it is going to set you up for a positive entrance into the rest of your day.
Beautiful. I wanted you to share too, because I think you shared this with me the other week of what you did this year for your students with the letters. I just think that is just so special. And I not necessarily gratitude related, but just like if there are teachers listening, I just think this would be such a gift if you want to share that piece, if you're okay with that.
Yeah, absolutely. So for back to school night, in the beginning of the school year, I had my normal spiel, explained what goes on in my room and covered all the key points. But I also told the parents that I do have the students practice gratitude with me for the first 5 minutes. And to kind of show them what that would look like, I asked them to consider a prompt on their own. And that prompt was, what about your child inspires gratitude in you? And I invited them, if they were interested in doing it, to write down their response to that question and seal it up in an envelope and write their child's name on the front. And I have a big stack of letters now in my desk from that. And I told the parents that because I have these conversations with students about gratitude and I kind of learn about what's going on in their day or, you know, just in their life at the time, I kind of know when students are going through something or when they're struggling or just kind of need a pick me up. And I have these letters kind of ready to hand off to them when I notice that they could use a little bit of positive, a little bit of sunshine. I'm very excited. I wanted to hang on to them for a little bit and wait until we really get into, you know, the tough part of the year, which is usually after winter break. And then I might be handing out these letters to students and just seeing what kind of impact it has. But I was so grateful to the parents who immediately were like, yeah, I'll do that. That sounds great. Because, you know, it takes the buy-in first.
Exactly. Yep. Oh, and it's just so special. Like, I think from all angles, that is special. Like, to be a parent being asked to, like, what about your child you're grateful for? You know, it's like to take that time. It initiates the gratitude in the parent. And then to be in a moment where you're needing additional support and to be handed a letter from your parents sharing that information, like, that is just so special. And it's just such a connection that I love that you thought about it. And it's such a, your students are so, I don't want to use the word lucky. I don't want to use the word blessed. They're just like, it's such a great, what you do is incredible. And I love hearing what you're doing and I love how you're supporting your students. And it's just, it means so much. And I think we as parents are looking to hear that, you know, I think you don't always hear about, you know, the extra caring teachers, you know, going out of their way to do the positive stuff. And it's a big expectation of teachers now with, you know, the world that we live in. So hearing what you're doing, I just think it's really special. And I wanted you to have a space to share it because it's just really cool. And I think that there's so many teachers that could take some information in and maybe apply it if they're looking to, like we said before, looking to kind of change the vibe in their classroom. But so I love what you're doing. And you've now kind of taken it to the point where you're looking to help bring it to your school. And I think, I don't know if there's anything you want to share there, but I think the fact that, I think you said the principal this year said that the theme was gratitude, or who was it?
The superintendent. It was crazy. The superintendent always comes to us in the beginning of the year and gives us kind of like a pep talk to get ready for the year. And there's always some sort of like slogan or, you know, little mantra that we have for each year. And this year he chose gratitude and I was just like, of course he did. Of course he chose gratitude because I know how important it is, but of course other people have to realize that this is important in a school setting. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So it's been awesome. And yeah, I did collaborate with you and one of the assistant principals in my building. And we kind of shared that message of using gratitude in the classroom. And we got some really awesome responses. I had a few teachers reach out to me, some of them just appreciating the message and, you know, kind of wanting to learn a little bit more so that they could maybe do something like that in their classroom. I had teachers who immediately got on the train. One of the teachers the next day after we shared that, she sent me a picture of this huge bulletin board in her room and she had totally redone it and it said gratitude, like big and bold in the center. And then all these little kind of like prompts and things or reasons why you should practice gratitude. Yeah. So, I mean, it was so cool to see that message get sent out and then immediately see action being taken and appreciation for it. And I think that that's something that could happen in any setting, really. It doesn't even have to be educational. I think that everybody can use that reminder to be gracious for the good things that are happening.
And do you think that buy-in from teachers, do you think that's hard, or do you think that takes time? I think of teachers, like my first grade teacher, she was there for 40 years, you know, like she'd been doing the same thing for so long. So you think about these teachers who have been in these roles, that has to be potentially a big shift to change up what they're doing.
Yeah. Well, I think that kind of comes naturally with gratitude. I mean, the point of gratitude is to focus on the positives. And I think that the biggest thing that teachers are going to think of as they're considering whether or not to do this is, you know, I can't take away the time for instruction because then my kids won't learn the things that they need to. And, you know, it just goes down a negative path when you do that. You know, it's my students won't learn what they need to, and then we're not going to meet their, you know, their goals by the end of the year, whatever it is. But I don't really think that it has to be like that. You know, I think that if we go into it with a positive attitude and assuming that it's going to be good, then it will be good. And you still will get to teach all the things that you want to teach because the kids will be engaged because you spent, you know, a minute or two doing something awesome with them. And now they're ready to talk and to get into whatever is planned for the day.
It's beautiful. Yeah, it feels exactly everything you said is just so true. It's like if you stay in the positive and you focus on the good of it, then that's what will come. So, oh, it's so cool. And I love what you're doing and what Westchester East is doing. And I think there's just so much opportunity and you guys see it, you know, you see the opportunity to support your students in so many beautiful ways. And I know as a mom, I'm very grateful to hear it. So I just think it's such a gift and especially what you are doing. It's just really special. So, well, I want to thank you for joining me. It's been such a pleasure to have you. And I just truly can't thank you enough for sharing your story. And I think that there's so much here that teachers can take, that parents can take, that anybody can really take and, you know, do with it how they can apply it into their own life. So I so greatly appreciate you being here. And thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for having me. This was so fun. And honestly, it's just kind of like it's such a great feeling to talk about this stuff too. You know, it's awesome to be able to reflect on it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you so much. This was such a pleasure. And I thank you all for listening. It was, again, another beautiful opportunity to connect with an individual who's just choosing to lead with purpose and passion. And it's just been a pleasure to have you here, Maria. And I hope you all have a beautiful rest of your day. And I'll talk to you all again soon.
So now that you've heard all the information about starting a gratitude practice, are you starting to say to yourself, oh, I would love to do that, but I just don't know where to start. I need some support. I need some extra help, but I'm ready to go. If so, we would love to support you through the journey. If you check out themotionofgratitude.com, we have actually created just that. We've created The Experience, which is a 28-day gratitude initiative to help you feel the impact of intentional gratitude. We wanted to give you the tools to start that experience on your own time in your own space. What you'll receive is 28 days of content delivered in an app along with a physical product to support you throughout the whole experience. So if you're looking for a starting point, please check it out. It might have exactly what you're looking for.